There's a lot going on out here right now. And I'm sure you all know it. Not just natural causes, but corona and everything else is going on. There's a lot going on. But like I said, again, we thank God for allowing us to have our space in the building and for just allowing us to come once again to serve Him. I want to thank everyone that's joining us this morning. Whether it be a Facebook Live, whether you're on the phone lines, or whether you decide to come out and worship with us this morning in our sanctuary, we want to thank you all for just joining us this morning. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Amen. Now let us enter His presence with praise and with thanksgiving. This morning, praise team going to be singing a hymn. And those of you who know the words of the song, please join on with us. We're going to do "Hold On to God's Unchanging Hand." Amen. changing hands. All right. Yes, yes, yes. I just want to say good morning to this wonderful praise team. Thank you all for coming out this morning, doing such a wonderful job. We really appreciate you. We really do appreciate you. This morning's scripture is going to be coming from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read until the Spirit says stop.
All right.
Amen. And after I do this, read the scripture, I'm going to ask Deacon Woods, if you would, if you don't mind, to bless us with prayer this morning, whatever's on your heart. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, and I'm coming out of the book of Romans, the NIV Bible. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. But by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you are, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesied, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And I'm going to stop right there. I believe that's enough to take in at one time. God's word has already been blessed.
Amen.
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 It's mighty funny this morning that Minister Lamont read that. That was a confirmation to me because I just read that this week myself. I'm going to give a prayer this morning. Let us all pray. Dear Heavenly and Most Merciful Father, we come unto you this morning, oh dear God, with thanksgiving with you and our Father.
Yes.
Oh Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus.
Yes.
the Father this morning, we want to just say, thank you. Oh, dear God, out of all of the gifts that are given, even here on earth, the greatest gift of all was your Son, Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, Heavenly Father, this morning, I want you to right now, just come into the midst of this service. Yes. Oh, dear God, touch each and every one of us in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Touch each and one that's under the sound of my voice this morning. Give it to Pastor this morning as he gets ready to break the word of life. Thank you, oh dear God, for this praise team this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, this morning we want to right now remember those that were sick and shut-in this morning in the name of Jesus. Be with bereaved families this morning, oh Lord, dear God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want you to right now just touch our minds, our hearts, and our souls this morning, oh dear God. That the words this morning that we are about to receive, that it will penetrate our hearts, oh dear God. Oh, Heavenly Father, won't you right now just want to go down on the prison camp road? Touch those down there that do not know the part that I have seen. Oh, dear God, this morning, won't you go into the liquor house, the drug house, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Touch those that are in there. Bring them out, oh dear God, that they may see and do the worst things that you would have them to do. Oh, Heavenly Father, this morning, in the name of Jesus, I want to give these words this morning in your name's sake. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Deacon Woods. This morning, I'm going to ask the praise team to bless us with a couple of songs, after which we will hear our very own Reverend Thompson going to bring us the bread from heaven. Amen.
Oh,
UCC.com. That's where we post most of our accomplishments in the church. That's where we talk about some of the announcements of things that we're going to have and the way technology is going. You got to be careful, amen, to stay together, amen. We don't have an intimacy, but we still can talk to each other and relate, amen. I want to say, got a card from Sister Covington. I must read that, Sister Ben, amen, and Covington family, we're keeping them in prayer. She said to the deaconess ministry, she said, thank you for the love and plan. We are sure Deaconess Sarah would have been so pleased. Please continue to keep us in your prayers, Covington and Medden family. Mm-hmm. Then she also come back, she says to Reverend Michael Thompson, members of Archers Grove UCC, thank you for the beautiful floral arrangements, for the many cards and phone calls during the passing of Deaconess Sarah Covington. We will never forget your kindness, love to all, the Covington and Medden family. Amen. Amen. We will continue to keep our own mother, Mildred Moody, in prayer. Amen. She's progressing well. She's in Moses Cone, and I told her daughter's deacon that she's getting closer and closer to home. Amen. She's eating, and she's getting her strength back, so we're going to pray that she'll soon be back. We can hear that great amen. Yeah. So we're just going to praise her strength in the Lord. Isn't that right? Yeah. And then not only that, Miss Mildred, but also her family members. Amen. And then also we're going to have a program. It's going to be a Zoom. Amen. That you can get the link from our website that I just gave you. Or you can give one of us a call, and we try to make sure everybody get that link. That's Good Friday. We're going to try to get together with Joint Life Ministry. Bishop Case and I are trying to get some speakers together. We're going to have a good lineup. We're going to talk about what the Lord said, not what the song is saying, not what we're talking about, but what he's talking about. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right. Sister Ronald Pell, good to see you in the house. Amen. Amen. God brought you up out of the hospital, didn't he? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, if y'all pray with me, we ain't gonna tarry long, amen. Because I know God is going to say what God's going to say. Meet me in the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 21. Meet me at verse 4. And then I'm going to read one verse out of the New Testament, to be John chapter 3, verse 14. Okay? All right. First, be God's will, meet me in Numbers. 21st chapter and at the 4th verse. And if you're at the back of the book, you're going to start back out of Bible study, okay? Yeah, y'all get that when you get to the house. Yeah. Numbers 21, I'm reading from the New King James this morning. Numbers 21, verse 4 says, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, to go around the land to Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. Many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned,
for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that we take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole. And it should be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Verse 9 said, so Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. So it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Ain't that good news?
Amen.
New Testament, John's Gospel. 3rd chapter, 14th verse, and I'm going to read it for the sake of time. You don't have it, write it down or find it as I preach. The Bible says, in John chapter 3, verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake, your Bible may say serpent, in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Amen. I want to speak to you from a subject this morning. It's time to change, or it's time to die. It's time to change, or it's time to die. That's a book by Alan Doshi. It says, the name of the book is Change or Die. And in the book he gives three points, poignant points, where it leads you to change in your work environment. And it also leads you to change in your life. So this morning, we're going to either change or we're going to die. Dr. Raphael Levy, who's the founder of the Global Medicine Forum, met together with all the members of IBM, all the great leaders all over the world. They got together, they was looking at the problems of the world. The one main problem they was looking at was the healthcare crisis. At that time, the healthcare crisis, they had spent $1.8 trillion on healthcare. They got together and they started talking and put all their expertise together, the foresight and the knowledge that they had. And when they got on stage, everyone was looking for them to tell the environmental reasons why people were sick, to talk about the genetic, passing down of the genetic sicknesses and diseases. When they got on stage, you know what they said? The reason that the average person dies is because they refuse to change. They refused to change their diet, and I'm not going into it, but I'm just going to give you some examples of what they were talking about. They refused to change their diet, knowing that your diet is killing you. Mm-hmm. Refused to exercise, know you need exercise to get your heart going. Mm-hmm. Refused to quit smoking, pumping smoke down in your lungs. Mm-hmm. Refused to quit stressing out and worrying over things that you can't control.
Right.
And all these things contribute to the fact of sickness and disease.
Mm-hmm.
Say it all that to say this, that as the church, we got to change or we don't die. As is pointed out in the text in Numbers 21, I told you last week that Moses was the leader of the people. And Moses had brought them out. And remember last week, they were in the wilderness in chapter 20. And Moses was instructed to speak to the rock. Moses got frustrated with the people and he struck the rock. Y'all know the story, right? Miriam dies at the beginning of the chapter. At the end of the chapter, Aaron dies. Amen. And the people and the congregation is angry with Moses, and Moses is going through a depression. But even though he's going through a depression, he still continues to lead them on the journey what God has for them. But you know people do get upset when you don't take them a certain way, amen. When you don't operate the way people think you ought to operate. And I'm not just talking about the church. I'm talking about family. I'm talking about work. I'm talking about anything you decide to do. You can start your own business and folks will come into your business, amen. After a while, after a couple of months, they'll be running it, amen. Because they feel like you are not doing it the way it ought to be done, even though the idea was yours. I wish I had somebody. There are people who stand before the preacher in marriage and honor. They say they honor the code in which they talk about. Ain't that right? To give up your life. Because I love this woman enough to give up my life. I love this man enough to give up my life and set our differences to the side until the honeymoon is over and the differences begin to come different. And now we want to talk about this thing and we want to change. But in this text where you will find that people get discouraged. Now, I'm not going to stay here long enough because it's already in the text. If you will journey with me in chapter 4, it said that people journeyed to Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people got discouraged. And let me make that real simple for you. It was a really simple journey to the promised land, but because they disobeyed God, y'all know they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. I explained that last week, amen. They wandered for 40 years. And now they're wandering around, they're wandering around, they're wandering around, and instead of going through Edom, they get discouraged because actually Edom was the family of Israel. So they decided to go a different way, amen. But y'all do know that the people got discouraged. Now let me say this before I move on. That's the tactic of the enemy. And during coronavirus, if you would look at Archer's Grove, if you would look at your family, we talked about it, ain't that right? Some people got sick of other things, but overall 500, some thousand people died in the United States of America, and in Archer's Grove, we did not have one COVID death, amen. And in our families, amen, somebody, we may have had a few people that contracted it, but they bounced right back, amen. I'm trying to tell you that God was with us, amen. And not only was he with us then, he's still with us. But you have to be careful because you will get discouraged. Now, before I go on to the text to tell you what discouragement does, I'm telling you, don't listen to what everybody's saying. This COVID is still real. If you, they're promoting the vaccine, but they're not telling you that folks are still dying from the disease. I'm telling you to go get the vaccine if it'll help you, but be careful. Still wear your mask. Still wash your hands. Still social distance, because we don't know if the test is 100% because they ain't been out here that long. Amen. And we got to see what happens before we get all willy-nilly running around, talking to each other, cooking out, doing all these crazy things. Be very careful, amen, what you do. Take your health serious, take your family serious, and most of all, do what God says and do what the CDC says and be smart with yourself.
Yeah.
I'm like you. I'm tired of wearing masks. I'm tired of not seeing the people that I love. But I'd rather go without seeing them and FaceTime them so they can live and I can live. Amen, somebody. I can call them on the telephone. As a matter of fact, let me help somebody before I go ahead. Before you get discouraged because you can't see folks, there was a time when we could see folks and we didn't see them. There was a time when folks talked about they can't come to church now. You didn't come when the church was open. So why you fussing because the church closed now? Yeah. See how it was about that? You got to change or you going to die.
Yeah.
Here the people got discouraged because they said on the way. There was only way to do what God had told them to do, but yet they got discouraged. And let me tell you, that's the tactic of the devil. The devil will make you get discouraged. And let me tell you something about being discouraged. Discouragement is nothing really happened. Nothing really changed. You're just sick of your situation. So in your heart and in your mind, you shut down. You get angry and you quit. Because see, nobody can stop you but you. If you get mad, decide not to go to school, decide not to go to church, decide not to work, decide not to do anything, can't nobody make you do anything. But if you make up your mind on this day, I'm going to make a change in my life, nobody can stop you from doing what you're going to do. You're going to move forward and rise to the top in the Lord, but you've got to make a change. Here they got discouraged. The enemy will discourage you. When he discourages you, he'll make you stop. And when he makes you stop, he'll defeat you.
Yeah.
He'll destroy you. Amen. So here the people got discouraged. And then it said the people spoke against God. That's a dangerous thing, man. Because I've heard saints who upset over this virus. And they're saying that God was so loving, why would he allow this thing to happen? Why would he allow it to come upon us? But if you study your scripture, every time a nation or a people got above themselves to think they were smarter than God or better than God, God will step back and let the enemy come on you to show you that you need him. You may not need that job. You may not need that woman. You may not need that man. But I'm telling you, you sure do need God. And I'm telling you now, God will step back. And he would allow things to happen. I'm not saying you don't run out and say, Reverend Tom said, God allowed, I did not say that God brought COVID. But I will say, before COVID came, everybody forgot about God. We were doing our own thing. You can't get folk to commit to the church. You can't get folk to come to the church. You can't get folk to believe in the church until they get sick, until they get distressed, until they tried everything else, and then they run to God. Lord have mercy. I know I got too deep. I'm sorry. God or know him not. And said, the people spoke against Moses, verse 5. They said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Now, first of all, they made a mistake because God never brought them out of the wilderness to die. First of all, he freed them from slavery. He helped them through poverty, and then they did not have to go do anything. God was raining bread down from heaven. And then in Numbers 11, the people was upset over the bread. They said, we want meat. And the Bible said, God sent quails. Amen. In other words, I don't know this. Big turkeys. Amen. Big chickens. Amen. KFC and Bojangles. All you got to do is knock it out the sky. Amen. And eat you a piece. Amen. That's basically what it was. God was providing for them. Now they I can't tell them how it ain't no water. In the chapter 4, God just took the man of God to strike the rock, and the Bible said that water came out the rock abundantly. You got Gatorade, you got juice, you got chocolate milk, your refrigerator is so full you can't even get a celery stick in it, and you still fussing about what you don't have and what God can't do. You got shoes you can't wear, so many clothes you can't drive, money you can't get, and you still fussing about what God ought to do for you.
Amen.
Well, the question is, what have you done for him? Yeah. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt in the wilderness?
Yeah.
Then they told a lie called discouragement will distort your view. They said, for there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes a hank of this worthless bread. You better be careful how you talk about the things that God allowed you to have. Let me say it again, you better be careful. When you talk about the things that God allows you to have, God orders our steps, amen. And sometimes God will put you in a good situation and a bad situation. But it does not matter, because he comes back and he tells you that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. If he got you in a bad situation, sometimes it's not even for you. It's for other people who can't handle what you're going through. But because you are a living example of what God can do through somebody's life who trusts him and obey him, amen, they stand up by faith and continue to march on. I wish I had somebody. And the people spoke against God. That's a bad thing to talk about God. And then they got mad about the food. So what happened? Verse 6, you see the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. 34. God don't have to have no meat. You can't vote on God. You can't tell God what to do. God can walk through open doors. God can shut you down. God can shut down a company. God can shut down a nation. God can shut down an army. I'm telling you, God is sovereign, because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all of us who dwell here in it. I don't care what your body is in life, you still in God's world. Ruling by God's rules. And so it said that the Lord, because the people talked about the Lord, the Bible said the Lord sent. Y'all see that? Hey, the devil didn't do it. The Lord sent. Y'all see it? Fiery serpents among the people. And what did they do to the people? They bit the people. And when they bit the people, it said that many of the people of Israel died. Scroll that saying in. Many of the people died. Y'all see it? It said, therefore, look what happened. Therefore, the people came to Moses. Wait a minute. You just cussed Moses out. You just said that Moses was worse than God. Why did you lead us out here? I don't want to hear from you. Don't preach to us no more. Don't do that. Now they come to Moses.
Amen.
And they said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord. Look, and against you. If God sends you something to do, and Reverend Thompson get in the way, it don't matter if I'm standing up here in the road. I can't get in the way of what God sent you to do on this earth. Because if I do, I don't have to answer to you. I have to answer to God. Lord, have mercy. Politicians who stood up in what they call a filibuster, talking about sending checks and money and stimulus to people. Amen. And they'll take that money and they'll get their new weapons. They'll take that money and give it to their families. But when it comes to the money and giving it to the American people, they had a filibuster and tried to upset the fact of sending out some money. Now, first of all, the money is not theirs, the tax dollars is out. Second of all, you trying to stimulate me with $600 a 14th, that ain't never pocket change. By the time we talk, by the time you pay your bills and get some grocery food line, amen, pay your insurance, that 14th, $100 is gone. I wish I had somebody that would pray with me up in this church. I could not feel better. And so now, people came to Moses. Vote against you. Vote against God. What happened? Moses prayed. Preachers, that's what you got to do. Church members, that's what you got to do. When folk get on your nerves, when it look like they're not doing right, don't stop coming to church. Start praying. Don't give up and leave that job to a bunch of heathens. Just stay there on that job. Do your job and walk around that job and pray. Yeah. Lay your hands on stuff until it recovers. Yeah. Say, hey, somebody. Don't leave your house. Don't leave your marriage. Don't leave your children. Don't leave your family. Stand strong in the name of the Lord and speak and call back to existence what God showed you. Because we don't do anything until God show it to you first. And then when he show it to you, then we walk it. Oh, and have mercy. They up in sleep. Sleep and slow. Come on, my buddy. Help me out now. The Lord took away his stood up. Look what happened. And when Moses prayed, he said that he'd take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and put it on a pole. And it should be to everyone who is bitten. When he looks at it, he shall live. Yeah. That's the grace of God in the Old Testament. Let me help y'all a little bit. Probably go to the house. Moses had to take that bronze, that brass, and beat it into a circle and fix it to where he could place it up on the pole. He takes it and he puts it up on the pole by faith in God. Yeah. Everybody that looked at it, they got saved. It didn't say they didn't get bit. It said they got saved. You might be going through something right now. You may have gotten bit, but if you look to Jesus, wish I had somebody. You're going to be saved. He's going to help you through your situation. I'm saying he's going to help you through your situation. He's going to help you through your situation. He's going to help you through your situation. And so now he takes it and he fixes it up. He puts it on a pole. And it said, if anyone is bitten, amen, that and look at the serpent, they would be saved. Yeah. And my topic is what changed or died. Look to Jesus and stop trying to do it yourself. Yeah. Let the Lord help you. Let the Lord be your guide. Yeah. Now let me tell you what happens here, and I'm going to move on. It's ironic that God used a serpent or a snake. Since the serpent was the reason that sin came into the world, and folk are the way they are right now. You have to teach folk to lie, cheat, or steal. It's already in our nature until we are born again. Wish I had somebody. Everybody has the propensity to do some crazy stuff on your own. But God has made a way where you can look to him, Jesus, and he will change your whole life. Let me tell you here that in 2 Kings, Hezekiah came upon where he did a great revival. And the people took that same pole that Moses had made. And they had started worshiping it and putting it up on the high place. Now notice what I said. They didn't worship God, but they started worshiping the snake on the pole. Now, the snake on the pole. A snake is good in one aspect. Well, a snake can show you that it can shed its skin. A snake can change its skin and walk into a new season of life. That's telling me and telling you that even though you go through a bad time, you can shed the mess off your life and step out in the Bible and walk in the newness of life. Amen, somebody. But a serpent also represented sin. It represented turning away from the Lord. But the Lord took that serpent and put it on the pole. And now they're taking that serpent and they got it and they're worshiping it. Now, newest in Egypt was what they call a snake. That's why they worship the snake and the venom of a snake. Because the snake had properties of healing power. But I want you to know that the Bible says in Exodus that the Lord said, I am the Lord God that healeth thee. God don't need no NyQuil to heal you. God don't need no vaccine to heal you. God don't need no plasma medicine to heal you. God don't need nothing to make your heart pump. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe also in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, a minute later, if it were not so, I would not have told you. If you eat right and do what God told you to do, treat this temple like you're supposed to treat it. then God will make a way where your body will start healing his own self. Ha! I wish I had somebody. But I'm going to the house when I tell you this, that the foreshadowing of Numbers 21 ain't nothing but an example of Jesus Christ hanging up on the pole. Y'all still don't get it? When Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, Nicodemus came at night. He was one of the Sanhedrin. Now Moses started the Sanhedrin back in the Old Testament because he was getting tired of helping the people. God said, I tell you what, New Jethro, go get your 70 men and I will put your spirit that I put in you, I'm going to put it on them so y'all can walk in agreement. Well, now in the New Testament, here is Nicodemus who came to Jesus that night. He was a Sanhedrin. All the other Sanhedrin, they believed in the scroll. They believed, but they didn't believe in the master. They did not believe in him, Jesus, the one who was doing the miracles, the one that was feeding folks, the one that was opening blind eyes, the one who they were supposed to be looking for. Y'all know why they didn't know who he was? Because people want you to be what they want you to be, not who God made you to be. So when Jesus came, he was meek and mild and humble. He was the Lamb of God who taking away the sins of the world. Amen. And that's what they were looking for. They were looking for somebody who would come in military and take over. Amen. Come 2 centuries before that, God and Maccabees, amen, they overtook the Titus Epiphany. And what they did was they ran him out of the temple. Amen. Because he desecrated the temple of God. He was a military man. He was a fighting man. 165 B.C., the dude stood up and fought a good fight, amen. But they thought Jesus won't do that. But Jesus did not come to fight at that time. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. See, you sat down like you don't know what I'm talking about. So let me talk about me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross, and I know it was the blood that saved me. I didn't walk that way no more. I didn't talk that way no more. I didn't act that way no more. He put my whole life back together. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. The Bible says the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. If God has blessed you, you ought to say so. If God has woke you up, you ought to say so. If God has healed you, you ought to say so. If I go outside, if I run into the wrong person and do the wrong thing, I get sick, ain't that right? But if God be for me, I got on that. He's more than the whole world against you. I just stopped by to tell you to change or to die. Don't live your life any kind of way. I want y'all to grow this morning. I want y'all to change this morning. I want y'all to live your best life this morning. Stop hanging around folks who don't want nothing. Stop being around people who every time you tell them about your goals and your dreams, they're trying to correct you and hold you down. You went the wrong crowd. Get with the saints, the people of faith who walk by faith and not by sight. I told you last week and I'm closing with it. Change or die. If you don't change, you don't die. You got that? But if you change, I said if you change, it's gonna get better. If you change, it's gonna get better. Look at your neighbor and say, if you change, it's gonna get better. Facebook Live, it's gonna get better. Phone Live, it's gonna get better. Jesus, hold on. Hold out. Keep him for the Thursday, Father of Jesus Christ. Pray for your dad. Pray for your need. Walk in victory, people would. Walk by faith and not by sight. And watch God. Let a miracle happen in your life. Yes, one day we're going to know Jesus Christ to be free will, pardon of your sin. All I came to do is to tell you to look. Look to him. Yes. The author and finisher of your faith. Doors of the church is open. For those who are here, if you don't know the Lord, you come. The Amen. You can't come to me. I want you to stand. If you need it, you can stand. Wave your hand. These kings right here, we'll lead you the best we can to the Lord, and we'll step back. But we can't do nothing for you. You know why? Because we're trying to make it too. But we know a man from Galilee who knows all about you. Know where he brought you from, know where you're going, know you before you was in your mother's womb. He can heal, he can deliver, and he will set you free. Facebook Live, phone line, if you need prayer, if you need salvation, type it into the line. We'll get to you. Pastor will get to you, deacons will get to you, one of the members will get to you. And if we don't get to you, God's going to send you to the Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church until you get better. So this morning, I'm taking a census right here. Y'all know how to start preaching that. Before I leave, I'm taking a census. You can sit there and look at me like a knot on the law. You can be that pole standing up there, and if people had to look at that, Jesus was on the cross, beaten, battered, whipped, and bruised, still talking. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. John, I want you to take care of Mom. Mom, I want you to listen to John. And he went on to talk for a while. He said, you know what? I'm thirsty. Amen. And then he said, it's finished. Amen. Everything you sent me to do, I did. And then he said, unto thy hands, I commend my spirit. Amen. And he said, I'm coming home, Lord. I want somebody to get saved today, that when you leave this earth, you will not have to stand. You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but the Lord will already be made a way for you. I want you to come this morning. Type it in the comments. Come to Jesus while you still have time. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we have decided to follow you. God, we have decided to change for the better. We have decided, like you said, Lord, that to come into your kingdom. Like you told Nicodemus, you can't see the kingdom. You can't come into the kingdom except you be born again. My prayer is that everybody under the sound of my voice have accepted him, Jesus. Have confessed their sins before him. Believe and trust that the blood will deliver. God, today we give you everything we are. Everything you're not. Thank you, God, for our families. And thank you for our life and our friends. We thank you not just for this church, but all churches that are planted by your hand. Revive your preachers. Strengthen us, God, to preach your word. Revive your deacons that they can pray and lay hands on people and they will recover. Amen. Lay your hands on your numbers that they will have strength in the marketplace to pray hope before, to let them know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, God, we understand that it's impossible to please you. So today we decide to change. We love you today, God. We honor you and we praise you. My prayer and benediction for you is this, that the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now and forevermore. Let the faithful of God say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Say it like you mean it. Amen. Amen.